Well, today we're in this wonderful month of June where we have weddings and Father's Day and graduations and summer fun and vacations. And I thought today we'd do something a little unique as we think about gathering around the family table to have devotions together. So as you listen to this tape, think of this, that we are all together, we've had dinner, the table is cleared, and now we're going to have devotions together, family worship. And I thought there could be no better passage for us to consider than Psalm 23. If you have your Bible, please turn to Psalm 23, and we will look again at that wonderful, wonderful psalm as the family members worship together. Now let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, all the Bible. Thank you at this moment, particularly for the Psalms, and for how you inspired David to write Psalm 23, who was, in fact, a shepherd himself. So we pray as we look here into these truths that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and we will receive the truth and you will apply it to our life as we thank you for being our shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I mentioned the family being around the table together for family worship. That's a word that might be overused, but the meaning of it can never be overused. Worship, what is that? What is it to worship? In the words of the song, How Great Thou Art, the author speaks of it as awesome wonder. And bowing in humble adoration. It is an attitude. Worship is an attitude of bowing to the authority of another. And we are not worshiping when we are determined to carry out our own will, but only when we are bowing to the authority of our Lord. So in one sense, we could say that worship is meditating on our sovereign God. And Psalm 23 helps us to do that. Let's read the psalm again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My life or my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now you've heard me say many times, in order to understand a passage of Scripture, or to interpret it properly, we must first of all find the purpose. If you don't find the purpose, then you have no idea of how to interpret. So the purpose of this psalm is very evident. It is to give comfort and rest to God's people as they live here in this life, with the comfort of knowing we have a shepherd. So this psalm falls into four sections, and we'll approach it this way, thinking first of all of the shepherd, his person. Verses 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. The shepherd, his person. Christ is our shepherd. That's who he is. Now, a shepherd mainly tends his flock, means he takes care of them. Our Lord Jesus Christ is with us to take care of us. He is the shepherd. He does it all for the sheep. He feeds them. He takes them where there's peaceful water, where they can drink. He does it all for the sheep. He tends his flock. Now, sheep are very interesting kinds of animals. They are totally dependent on the shepherd. And when sheep cannot see the shepherd, they get very nervous and mingle together in a way that's disturbing. They need the shepherd. We need our shepherd. In the New Testament, we have a description of Christ our shepherd in this way. In John 10, he is called the Good Shepherd. And in his own words, he says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Tending to someone's needs means you give your life to them. You take care of them. You may need to feed them. You may need to give them a bandage. You may need to do all kinds of things for them. It's sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd who sacrificed his life for his sheep. He died for the sheep. Secondly, in the New Testament, in Hebrews 13:10, he is spoken of as the great shepherd. And he is referred to as being raised from the dead by God as the great shepherd of the sheep, who works in us to do his will. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, he is called the chief shepherd, and he's going to appear as the ruler of all. So, in thinking of the shepherd, we think of his person, his identity. Who is he? Well, he's the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd of the sheep. And the sheep are God's people. Now, just think of the sheep for a moment. And to do that, let's turn to John chapter 10. And let's take the time to find that passage. John chapter 10. And we'll read the words of Jesus from verse 25 through 30. John 10, 25 through 30. We considered the shepherd. Now let's just think for a moment about the sheep. What does he say about sheep? Verse 25, Jesus answered some Jews around him and said, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. That is, God's people whom he has chosen to be his sheep can understand the Bible. And while we are reading in the Bible this morning, we don't hear an audible voice, but we have understanding of the text because the Holy Spirit has given us that gift of hearing the Word of God. My sheep hear my voice. And if you and I believe the Bible is the Word of God, be very thankful, because all people do not have that gift or that understanding. Now, if we were in a group of 100 people this morning and we were reading this passage, it might go completely over the head of most people because God has not gifted them. My sheep, hear my voice, as we read in the scripture. Furthermore, he says, I know them. And in reading a book about a sheep ranch, I read where a shepherd knows every sheep in the flock. He takes the time and the trouble and gives the attention needed so he knows every sheep. And that's what's being said here about us. Our Lord knows us. He knows all about our physical appearance. He knows all about our personality. He knows all about our psychological makeup. He knows all about our needs and desires. He knows all about our relationship. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, we should not have to implore or exhort God's people to follow. It should be the natural inclination of a saved person to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If that isn't true, then there's something suspicious about the claim for salvation. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give them eternal life, which is the gift of salvation. And they shall never perish, that is, in eternal hell. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Well, these are magnificent things to know about our life. Our shepherd enables us to hear his voice. And he knows us. And he gives us the privilege of following him. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture, the people of his hand. And he gives us eternal life, permanent salvation, the doctrine of eternal security, which simply says, once saved, always saved. Can a Christian lose salvation? No. Why? Not because of our doing, If it was up to us, we'd lose it every minute of our life. But it's because no one can take us from Him. Not even ourselves. Now what a comfort that is. If the purpose of this psalm is to comfort, what a comfort and rest comes to our heart to know His commitment to us. The Lord is my shepherd. As we think about Christ as a shepherd, His person, the Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Can you say that? It is not enough to say He is a shepherd. The point is He our personal shepherd? Is that our testimony? The Lord Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Have you given that testimony lately? Is that what people around you think of you? Is it evident that the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd? Is my shepherd? What a wonderful thing to have a personal shepherd taking care of us, tending to the flock. Now, the second section of this psalm moves to verses 3 and 4. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This section presents to us the shepherd, His presence. The shepherd stays with the sheep day and night. He lives with them. They are together. The shepherd is present with the sheep at all times. What a great comfort and rest and peace to our soul is this knowledge and this truth. You are with me. In Psalm 139, it is written that He knows when we lie down, when we rise up, when we go out, when we stay in. He is with us. Now, here this psalm reveals His comfort and peace and rest in some difficult times. He restores my soul. And there may be times in our Christian life when we hit a low spot and we're not really following so well, and that there is distractions to our Christianity and we're living sort of afar off. Well, is He going to ignore us and let us stay there? No. He restores our soul. If the sheep try to wander away, He goes after them. And you can count on this in your Christian life. If you wander away, He's after you. He's after you. And He's going to get you and restore your soul to the fullness of fellowship with Himself. For leading us in paths of righteousness, so that we are living for His glory. And then He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now I suppose that in the human experience, that death may be the most fearful thing that grips human lives. And the psalmist is saying that even though I approach the door of death, walking through that valley, even then he is with us. And I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Christ the shepherd, his presence at all times. Oh, the comfort and the peace and the rest of knowing he is with me. Are you enjoying his presence? Are you living in his presence? I think we can use the word bask. In fact, I had it in a crossword puzzle recently. To bask is to live in the sunshine. Bask in his presence. Just take the time to worship and live there. Now, the third section of this psalm comes to verse 5, where David has written, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." That is, my life overflows. So in this third section, we have the shepherd, his protection. We have the shepherd, his person, the shepherd, his presence, and now the shepherd, his protection. And David speaks of it from enemies. And of course, the enemies of the sheep are the wolf and the lion and the bear. And David speaks of being able to kill a bear and a lion. Now, how did he do that? With not his own physical ability or strength, but that which God supplied for him at the moment to protect from enemies. Now, sheep have no personal protection. They have no sharp claws. They have no fangs. They can't even run fast. So they're completely dependent on the shepherd to protect them. And he does. Protection from enemies, protection from all kinds of circumstances. And in this protection, he also supplies them with abundant mercy. He says, "You anoint my head with oil." Now, in the shepherd-sheep life, many flies and insects gather and they make their nest in the eyes and the nostrils of the sheep. And it can drive them literally crazy. But the shepherd has a healing oil, and he rubs that oil in the nostrils and in the eyes of the sheep, anointing them. It's a healing thing. Anointing means to rub on, and that's what he does. You anoint my head with oil. That is, you heal me, and you help. Accompanying that, you fill my life with joy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup, which means my life. My life spills over with joy and peace and comfort. I have an overflowing life because of the protection of my Savior. Now, the fourth section speaks of the shepherd, his purpose. The shepherd, his person. The shepherd, his presence. The shepherd, his protection. And now the shepherd, his purpose. Verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, we might ask the question, what is God's commitment to me this morning? What is God's commitment to you? What is his purpose for us this morning? His purpose is that goodness and mercy shall surround us now. As we live here in this world, we need the goodness of God and the mercy of the Lord to surround us now, all the days of our present existence in this world. We need that. And the psalmist says that's what the shepherd does for the sheep. The shepherd takes care of them all of their life. And then there's the future. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is that? My eternal home. Now we're a family gathered around the table today, and we're having family worship. For the Christian family, that's going to be forever. We will be a family together forever. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. What a wonderful, wonderful song. And what a wonderful way for us to worship together now, thinking of our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd, and the privilege of being in his flock. Now, an observation about this, sheep and shepherd. The shepherd is sovereign ruler over the sheep. The experience of the sheep is not according to their free will. Now, that idea is popular today, and in almost everywhere you go to church or read a book, you will hear about the free will of man as a determining factor. No, it is not. It is the will of God. God is sovereign over the affairs of the world and over the affairs of our life. And I say to you, there are no free will sheep. The shepherd determines where the pasture will be, where they will find water, where they will have rest, and the sheep do not determine that by their own free will. It is God's will. Are we worshiping him? Are we responding with thanks and praise? Here's our final prayer. May the experience of our worship together overflow into our daily lives, causing us to live a life of worship. What is life to be? Life is an overflow. It's an overflow of our personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not something we put on or we act out. It's just something that flows from within and is expressed in our life daily. And worship is not something we just do at the table or at church. Worship is a way of life that overflows daily, causing us to live a life of worship. Now, our Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you and praise you for all the Bible, this morning for Psalm 23, and for reminding us again of our great shepherd and the privilege of living in the comfort and peace that he provides for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.